Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
It was a good Friday in South Florida. Welcome to TC Live as we break down all the action from the Miami Open today and get you ready for Championship Weekend at Hard Rock Stadium. A lot to talk about over the next half hour. There's a new addition to Hawkeye Live. A live hawk-like bird getting between the lines, but nothing could crash Jannik Sinner's day, swooping in on another title. Plus, Grigor Dimitrov going for his biggest win in years. Could he break a decade-long losing streak to Sasha Zverev and get back in the top 10? And Novak Djokovic says he's not sure if there's going to be a new coach in the cards. We ask our experts about a solo joker. You may not believe what they have to say. Come on into our studio, another edition of TC Live After Dark. Steve Weissman, Monica Puig, and we've got Andy Roddick once again past midnight over on the big screen. How about Bethany Mattek-Sands? We thought maybe she wasn't going to finish that match. And now in a final with Sonia Kenin.
I mean, we were prepped and ready. We were sitting here. Everybody was like, red alert. We're about to go on air. But then they found a way to win. Mm. They found a way to come back. Bethany, you know, had that swagger. She had that demeanor that she always has going on the court. And her and Kenin complement each other so well. And it's really great to see them back in another final.
Yeah, two Americans making it into the final, Andy. And for Bethany, I mean, former world number one in doubles, multiple major champion, hasn't played all the time, but now in another final.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely knows what she's doing, especially in the doubles court. And I just love the grittiness that was applied to this match, right? They didn't look like the better team for 80% of this match, but you hang in there, you can flip it on its head, and then they found a little run of momentum there in the breaker. But, you know, grit personified tonight for Bethany Mattek-Sands. Now, the problem is that she has 12 hours and 19 minutes to get treatment on that ankle, to work out the calf that a lot of times you get little pulls if you're overcompensating for another injury. So enjoy the victory, but the shot clock's on to get ready for tomorrow or today, whatever it is.
She plays Sunday in the final, so she's got a little bit more time. The men's doubles final on Saturday. Nonetheless, we'll see if she can get healthy and ready to
go. That's much better than 12 hours, Steve.
Yep. 24 hours and 19 minutes, I believe, something like that. The 19 minutes stays the same, Andy. We flash back to last year's final. Daniil Medvedev took out Jannik Sinner in straight sets, now trying to become the first defending champ to reach the next final since John Isner. But Sinner has won the last four matches between these two, including this year's Australian Open final. Both guys, Andy, looking to reach their third final of the season. Sinner's been a one-man wrecking crew this year and got his revenge against Medvedev.
Yeah, Sinner's like, you know, like when like a 10-year-old plays too many video games and they get like real good and like no one can beat them and they go into like video game mode. That's kind of like what Sinner is doing, but kind of like in real life, beating people like Medvedev, who is, you know, one of the best players that we've seen in who knows how long, making it look like a junior tennis match, right? Like where you just get overpowered because someone's weight of shot is just too big, as we see the queen. She had a long day at the court. She stayed for Grigor. She was into it. I like watching her play more than I like watching her watch someone else play. But listen, always good to see Serena there. But look at Sinner's movement. He hits one forehand outside the one side and then is able to get back across the court to go inside out on the next with his feet outside the opposite sideline. Listen, and Medvedev's going, you know, like that bird, if you could just go do something to Sinner, that'd be great. Help me out a little bit. But the serve has just gotten so much better. He made the adjustment to bring his foot up about a little more than, six, seven, 8 months ago. A huge change. 1-2 over Daniil Medvedev. Are you kidding me, Steve?
The wildlife that we have seen. But this guy's an absolute beast. Now 21-1 on the season. Five straight wins against Medvedev, the first to ever do that. Youngest man to reach three Miami finals. And the recent run includes 3 wins over Novak Djokovic and 11 against top 5 opponents since Wimbledon. Let's hear from both guys inside the press room.
The margins are small when you play someone like Jannik, who's in great shape, and I needed to play my best, which I didn't do. I didn't play good enough. He played good. He won easy, and that's the end of the story, to be honest.
For sure, very happy to be back in the finals. Today was a great day for me, starting off very, very well and solid, and happy to finish the match like this.
So who is he going to meet in that finals? Zverev. Kamasasha has won 7 in a row against Grigor Dimitrov, but the Bulgarian coming in off back-to-back top 10 wins, Andy, including one over Carlos Alcaraz.
Yeah, and if you look at, I mean, that's the hot shot, right? That's he was coming in and that looked good, but he played that down the line backhand slice to switch directions and to get it low to Zverev's forehand, forcing him to play up to him all day long. Played a completely different match strategically than he played against Carlos Alcaraz, where it was a little bit more of a red line, but also, I don't think Zverev gets the credit that he deserves for competing. You never see him take plays off, even down to the last point, down a set, getting outplayed, finds a way to sneak out the tiebreaker and push this thing to a third set to ask the question again. And this was bananas. Gwen Stefani would have said B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Look at that. He's on the deck, puts it away. That is ridiculous athleticism. I cannot be told that tennis players aren't the best athletes in the world, Steve. I just can't. And this is well-deserved. Over 5 years since the last time he was in the top 10. Welcome back, Mr. Dimitrov.
You know what I have to say about that? No doubt Grigor Dimitrov gets back inside the top 10. Let's hear from him.
You know, it was like a dogfight on both ends. I mean, we really went at each other, especially after that first set. Sasha was, I felt like he upped up his game a little bit, and he was very, very strong throughout the whole second set. And even in the tiebreak, I think in the end, I played with a little bit more authority and I was moving the ball very well.
So the final is set on the men's side. The gap, by the way, of 260 weeks between his top 10 standings, third longest in the history of the rankings. Dimitrov, Sinner, this was a round of 32 match in Miami last year that Sinner won. 2-1 head-to-head for the Italian, but Grigor Dimitrov coming in off back-to-back-to-back top 10 victories. Monica, what are your early thoughts on this championship match?
Well, I think it's like Andrea and Petch said earlier during the doubles match that we have been kind of counting out Grigor Dimitrov in these really big matchups, and he has come through time and time again. We said it today, you and I speaking in the green room. If this went to a third set, we like Zverev's odds much better. So we've been counting him out, but he has been consistently putting up the goods. Mentally, he's looked great. We have to see how his body recovers for that final. He has an extra day to do that. So, I mean, I would really like to see him come through, but the fact of the matter is Sinner right now is just on one. I really highly doubt that Sinner is going to put a foot out of place. He is just looking way too solid, way too strong at the moment.
Even Grigor Dimitrov, Andy, said Jannik Sinner is the best player on the planet right now. What does he need to do to somehow find a way against the Italian?
Well, extended rallies aren't going to be his friend. I'd like to see him try to come in on some second serves, win center, just disrupt rhythm. It's weird because he played kind of all-out tennis, hyper-aggressive against Alcaraz, and against Zverev, he played a little bit more patient, was willing to stay in 3, 4, 5 shots before he got. He's going to have to kind of play a hybrid of those where center doesn't know what's coming, right? He doesn't know if he's going to come in on the first ball, serve and volley, or kind of do the old Pete Sampras where you get to 30-all and play an extended rally, try to hope for an error. Kind of takes Sinner out of his rhythm, but it's not, I don't know. This guy's got more rhythm than Michael Jackson right now. This Sinner guy, I don't know that you can take him out of that moonwalk. I mean, it's been said ad nauseum now, but results don't lie. He's been the best player on earth the last 6 months.
Yeah, and the way he destroyed Medvedev today, we'll see. I mean, listen, Grigor Dimitrov would love to see it the way he's battled back, and the one-handed backhand. It took a 4-week sabbatical. It is back in the top 10. We love that. On the women's side, in doubles action, would we have 2 All-American teams in the final? Asia Muhammad, Alicia Parks, playing for the second time together this year, won their 4 previous matches in match tiebreaks, taking on the reigning U.S. Open champs, Gabby Dabrowski and Erin Routliff.
Yeah, and they're a doubles team with a lot of firepower, and they play so aggressively. They play really well in both singles and doubles. They were up a set and a break before Routliff and Dabrowski came up with the goods. Dabrowski just looked everywhere. Starting off from that breakdown all through the match tiebreak, and they are Grand Slam champions. Dabrowski, Rautliff, they complement each other very well. I feel like Rautliff constantly sets up Dabrowski for success at the net, and they were just not stop moving their feet, and they did an impressive job recovering, getting back to a winning position. And with shots like this, Gabby Dabrowski was on fire, and they came back and closed it out. And what a way to do it.
What a way indeed. The Canadian, former Alabama star, Roll Tide. They are moving into the final. First final of the season for Dabrowski and Rautliff. Meantime, we had an All-American duo against an All-Italian matchup. The one we just saw, Sonya Cannon, Bethany Maddox-Sands against Sarah Rani and Jasmine Paolini.
Yeah, these were scary moments at the very beginning of the match. Bethany Maddox-Sands feeling some discomfort in what either was her ankle, Achilles, calf. We weren't really sure. We were here at the ready, but it was the Italians who came back after that little hiccup from Maddox-Sands, and they just looked like they were going to steamroll this match, especially Irani, super accomplished in doubles, having won a couple Grand Slams. But then the swagger and the fire from Maddox-Sands overcoming adversity with her body, whatever she was feeling, they just started playing really aggressive. Sonya Cannon had some incredible lobs, especially over Irani's head, to kind of set up Maddox-Sands for success. Lots of great down the lines. It seemed like Cannon was seeing the ball great in this third set breaker. And with the stare down, they're in the final, overcoming what was a pretty scary moment at the very beginning of this.
Yeah, second game. It was hobbling for a while after that. This is our women's doubles final coming your way Sunday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, right here on Tennis Channel. Fourth team final for Dabrowski and Rautliff, going for their third title. And the All-American duo looking to take it from them. We shall see. But, Andy, when we saw Beth kind of not have her footing for most of that first set after the fall, we weren't sure if she was going to continue to be able to come through in the end. What's it like for an athlete to have an injury and then work it out during a match?
Not comfortable. I think, you know, she was really smart. She tried getting in on every ball that she could. She wasn't going to stay at the baseline and do that kind of side to side movement thing. It seemed like it was okay going forward, and it seemed like it hurt more when she had to go side to side. Sophia Cannon did a great job of picking her partner up. It's going to be interesting to see how much this injury plays into strategy. I feel like they can only really play one way, right? Which is Bethany kind of getting forward at all costs, which is something that she likes to do anyways. So we'll see how it goes there. You know, you don't know if you're going to wake up and it feels a little bit better or it feels a lot worse. I guess time will tell.
What do you think?
I mean, I completely agree. I think tomorrow is really important for Bethany to kind of get her body right, see how it's feeling, what can she do to get ready. Sonya Cannon needs to still kind of just be on it. She knows that her partner's not feeling 100%, so what can she do to kind of help that out? They both play with a lot of firepower, so hitting through the court, keeping the points short will be really important against Gabby Dabrowski and Erin Rautliff that don't hit necessarily as big a ball, but they're very active at the net, so they're going to have to kind of work their way around that. But, you know, it's going to be a great final. Hopefully Bethany recovers and it's nothing serious and we can see some great doubles like we saw at the very tail end of that match.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So the women's doubles final on Sunday. Guess what goes down on Saturday? It is the women's singles final. That is what we are breaking down when we come back on TC Live. Our FanDuel match preview. Elena Rybakina, Danielle Collins. Who's the odds-on favorite? And will Andy or Monica back the underdog? Don't go anywhere.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
Monica, Andy, Steve, back with you here on TC Live right after Miami. The road to Roland Garros kicks off on the green clay in South Carolina. Incredible field once again every year at the Credit One Charleston Open. Some wild cards as well. Caroline Wozniacki, Shelby Rogers. Five former champions are going to be there. Five Grand Slam champions as well. It all begins on Monday, 11 a.m. Eastern. For a look at Saturday's forecast in Miami, here's Fox Weather.
Hey, tennis fans, I'm Fox Weather meteorologist Stephen Morgan. Here's tomorrow's Miami Open forecast. Another day with decent sunshine. Highs in the upper 70s. A good day to play tennis. Remember, you can download the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device.
Thank you, Stephen. Time now for our FanDuel match preview. Elena Rybakina, 3-1 head-to-head against Danielle Collins. But those three victories all came in three sets. Andy, what do you think of the odds? Rybakina is favored in this matchup.
Yeah, it's hard for me to bet against Rybakina. I don't think Collins is going to be able to get on that front foot as much against Rybakina. It's just a matter of how much Rybakina can stick Danielle in that forehand corner, win that cross-court forehand rally, which she dominates time after time. I don't know if Danielle is going to be able to get as much pressure on the second serve. Curious to see if Rybakina chooses to run it in on her, but maybe a little bit more pace. She can definitely kind of run it up and down the radar gun. This is like facts versus feelings. I know I should say Rybakina, but I just feel like this tournament with Danielle Collins, I guess I have to choose Rybakina. I don't feel great about it.
Maybe odds-wise, I don't know. Actually, odds-wise, I'd go with Danielle. I go head and heart with just the way they played and the fact that Rybakina has been on court for more than 11 hours, fought through a ton of three-setters, 4 out of 5 matches, and Danimal's just been cruising.
She has been playing incredibly well. We have seen her with this reckless abandon on the court that she just closes her eyes, hits the ball. However, she has been making it time and time again. It's not like it's been a fluke by any means. Rybakina, I feel like she's going to have to, you know, come with it with the serve and really dictate play and play through the court and make Danielle feel like she doesn't have time. I feel like if Danielle has time, maybe bringing Rybakina forward with a little bit more shorter angles. Rybakina is a tall player. However, she does move well from side to side. Front to back, kind of not so much, I feel like. But Rybakina, even though she's had 11 hours on court, she didn't play anything for 8 days. You know, she had an extra day to get her body right and rest, recover, and get ready for this match. I like the way that Rybakina is playing from start to finish in this tournament. Danielle, I give her so much credit for what she's done. She's just going to have to really bring the goods if she wants to win this one.
All right, we're going to get our predictions from Monica and Andy later in the show. Right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets if your $5 bet wins. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and start making every moment more. Next up, guess what? We're going to visit with actor and tennis superfan Jason Isaacs, who is on location shooting season 3 of White Lotus. I love that show. Don't miss what he has to say about Stefanos Tsitsipas. You're watching TC Live.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
That music sounds so good. It only means one thing. We are less than 2 months away from the year's second major. Tennis Channel will once again bring you extensive daily live coverage from Roland Garros. Don't miss any of the Grand Slam excitement on the Terbat 2 in Paris beginning Sunday, May 26 on Tennis Channel and T2. And now we are very excited to welcome in actor Jason Isaacs, who is currently in Thailand shooting season 3 of the very popular show White Lotus. You may also know Jason from the Harry Potter movies, The Patriot, Peter Pan, among other big movies.
I would give it all up to sit in your chair, Steve. That's where I
really
want to be.
Wow.
My only professional ambition left is to sit and grill professional tennis players about the games that I'm watching.
Well, come on over. You can take a spot.
Just be very careful. Watch your back.
But you got to give me a spot in White Lotus. So if we switch,
okay,
I'm down for that.
If it was up to me, I would swap tomorrow. Okay. Yeah, you have no idea what an unhealthy addiction I have to tennis and all things tennis.
All right, so tell me, where did that all start for you?
I don't know. I just, there's something about connect. I mean, I'm from Liverpool, so I grew up with football is a religion there. And I'm from four boys, and the way we communicate is through hitting things or catching things or throwing things or beating each other at things. And then I started to play tennis, and something about the feel, the pop, the smell of the balls, and the way you have to be completely present when you contact, and this is a weird, pretentious analogy, but something about the way you have to be only in the moment when you contact the ball and not thinking about the last point or the next point. The only other time I get that in my life is when I'm acting. Mostly in my life, I'm often, even now, you're probably thinking of your next question or how soon you can get to bed or whatever it is. But when I'm playing tennis or when I'm in front of a camera, I'm completely in the moment.
So I know you got to hit with Stefano Tsitsipas at one of the events you went to. What was that like?
I actually hit with him a couple of years running, and he kept on, you know, rising up the rankings. And then when he stopped hitting with me, not going so well. I'm not taking personal credit for it. I'm just saying that the game has gone. No, I think he's a really lovely young man, very serious. And I got to have a set with his dad and his little sister as well, actually. But I don't know, there's something about watching him on court. He's not having fun. And I've seen the joy that Carlos Alcaraz brings, even when he's not playing well, when he loses. There's something about the kind of free spirit, the relish that he has, both for the game and for the crowd. And it's not that he doesn't take it seriously. Obviously, he trains like a lunatic, Alcaraz. But Steph, when I watch him on court, even the exhibition match that I got to hit with him afterwards, I said to him, why did you get so angry? What were you doing? Why is it? And he goes, well, I don't know. I get caught up. And I went, I've just met him. And I went, it doesn't help. Doesn't help you. I've been watching tennis since before McEnroe's time. He's the only player in history that it helped. He's trying to have more fun, and his dad's behind him nodding at me. I said to Steph, let me see some of those bombs, Steph. Will you hit some of those bombs down the tee at me? And he said, you won't get them back. And I went, we'll see. And he hit them down. And if you just get your racket in the way of somebody else's brilliant shot,
yeah,
if you can just make contact, they go back, and they go back hard, and you feel like you're very good. So I got a couple of, I don't know, a dozen serves back. I got three back or something. And then I hit with him, had a tiebreaker. We're on the way home in the car. My dad came to that exhibition match as well. And he said, you weren't very good. And I went, Dad, he's number seven in the world. He said, yeah, but your forehand was very weak. And I went, Dad, he's number seven in the world. And he's 20 years old. What's the matter with you? Going, still.
You play a lot of villains, right? A lot of your roles. You played Captain Hook, Lucius Malfoy, in The Patriot, you're the villain. Who's the biggest villain in tennis right now, in your opinion?
The biggest villain in tennis. I was a kid watching Nastasi, and I slightly missed people being allowed to express their whatever anger or frustration with the crowd or heckling and that stuff. I like what Patrick was trying to do with UTS. It's fun. I love the single serve. It makes the rallies go for a very long time, 15-second turnaround. But I personally would vote for X-rated cable tennis. I'd like people to be able to swear, possibly throw things at the umpire. I think we should let the players, genuinely, I don't mean silly, but off the leash slightly, and let the characters out. The biggest draw in tennis for a long time was a man, Nick Kyrgios, who was nowhere near the top 10 in the world, but he was the one that everybody under 30 wanted to watch. And why? Because he was himself on the court. And so I don't know who the biggest villain in tennis is right now, but I hope we get to see more of it. I like the way Daniil Medvedev likes playing the villain. He's got a tremendous sense of humor. He's great at interacting with the crowd. He's great at stroking his invisible mustache. He's a great character to watch.
Love that. Love that. Before I let you go, I'm a huge White Lotus fan. So what can you tell me about season three?
I can tell you it made me gasp reading the scripts a few times. And Mike White's a very naughty man. That's all I can tell you.
All right. I'll take it. Jason, thank you so much for joining us. You are an absolute tennis fan. Thank you for watching.
Listen,
TC,
look at me.
I'm
advertising the merch.
You've got it all. Do you have the shirts and the hats?
Okay. I've got it all. I've got the bag that I travel with. I'm going to get it tattooed across my face. And then, of course, you'll have to hire me. No, I do. I love tennis. I love the Tennis Channel for providing me the opportunity to watch tennis wherever I am around the world, because otherwise I'd go nuts.
You're hired. Hope to see you at a tennis tournament soon, Jason.
Oh, you will. Thanks very much.
That was fun. Time now to enter the social net. Of course, we are updating you on Novak Djokovic, who split with his coach Goran Ivanisevic. Told Tennis Majors, quote, I still don't have a clear idea who a new coach would be or whether there will be one at all. Andy, what do you think about that?
I get it. I mean, I was talking about this with Wertheim on the Surf podcast this week, and it'll come out Sunday. But I said, as a coach, like, I would be intimidated, because what the hell do you tell Novak Djokovic? Like, what do you tell him about preparation? What do you tell him about strategy? What do you tell him that he doesn't already know? Right? Like, he knows what to do. I think it's more of if someone needs a conversation, if someone needs, maybe at this point it's just confirmation bias, right? Like, you know, if anyone can survive without a coach, it's probably Novak. If anyone can go kind of full counterculture from what's expected, it's probably Novak. And if anyone can be successful doing those things, it's probably Novak.
I mean, he took the words right out of my mouth. I was pretty much going to say the exact same thing. I mean, he's been at the top for so many years. He knows what he needs to do. He's already prepping on the clay. He's getting ready for this clay court season. I mean, maybe what he needs is silence right now and just his internal voice. So, you know, no need to rush it. If he feels like he's better off without a coach, he knows better than us, for sure.
Andy, if Novak called, would you pick up that call and give him a little coaching just at, like, the majors, not week to week?
No. One, I don't think that phone call is coming. Two, I don't know what I would tell him. And three, I like hanging out right here, like, with Andre in my office.
you get a little Nolet behind you.
there's plenty of wall space, but, you know, he certainly has the accomplishment for it, but I am not interested in coaching, and I don't think he's interested in me coaching him.
To be clear, he still has his physios, fitness coach, agent, manager, and all that stuff with him, so it's not like he's riding solo dolo. Miami Open on Tennis Channel, Saturday's schedule. We've got the men's doubles final, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, followed by TC Live. The women's final, Danielle Collins, Elena Rybakina, who's going to take that trophy, and encore coverage after that. We will break down more of the women's final after this. Welcome back. It is our hot shot of the day, and it comes from Grigor Dimitrov, Andy.
Yeah, and you know, I like it when it actually matters as far as the scoreboard, Steve, and I don't know that we've had a hot shot since I started that had more relevance to the actual outcome of the match. Look at this view. The only way that he could do it was to throw his body on the ground to get it out of the way. Look at that coordination. And this is the best shot I've ever seen that didn't even get a fist pump. He was so focused in on what he had to do. There was no celebration. There was no facial expression. Just got up, went back to work. Hell of a result for Grigor.
Incredible reflexes there. Here is our Saturday handing out championship trophies. The men's doubles final, Bopana Evden taking on Dodik and Krajicek. And then the women's singles final, Collins Rybakina. For more on all this, let's go back to Miami with Danny Prakash.
All right, Steve, back here at our Tennis Channel Cadillac desk. P, we're here. It's the final, the women's final, and Danielle Collins is into her first 1,000-level final of her career, taking on last year's finalist in Elena Rybakina. So who's going to lift the trophy?
Well, numbers-wise, you probably got to go with Rybakina. 3-1 head-to-head record over Danielle Collins. She's just been playing better in general. But I think there's just something special happening at this tournament. Kind of feels like one of those things in sport where it's just someone's time. And Rybakina's still recovering from that illness. So I'm going to back Collins here. I know that's going out on a limb. I just love how aggressive she's playing, how loose she's playing with her last year here. I'm going with the American.
It's going to be a fun championship Saturday here in Miami.
Thanks so much. Great job, guys. Prakash is going with Danielle Collins. It's Rybakina's fourth final of the season. Collins' fourth final of her career. Who are you going with?
I think I'm going to have to go with Rybakina on this one. I just feel like, you know, that serve, that forehand, just hitting through the court, I think it's going to be a little bit too much to rush Collins into doing anything to kind of make Rybakina feel uncomfortable. I could be wrong because Collins has played phenomenally the whole entire event. I'm just kind of leaning a little bit more on this side.
Okay. Andy, I just want to give you one quote from Danielle, who seems in great spirit. She says, a day off tomorrow, hit the golf course, play a little tennis, living the dream in Miami. So, I don't know.
I love it. I love it. I know we're looking for someone to call an upset here, Steve, but we're not going to see a bigger upset in this show than Lucius Malfoy telling someone else to smile more. That was a little bit of a departure for me. But I will say, I can't go against Rybakina. I know Danielle Collins has been the best player in this tournament. The serve of Rybakina, she has played herself into it. I am not concerned. I've been concerned about kind of her body, her fitness, her injuries this whole way. She will have had almost 48 hours to recover. I think that's enough. I'm not as concerned about her fitness level in this match. Specifically, the matchup has been good for her. There are just too many logical things to pick against Rybakina. I want to say Collins. I just can't get there. I know I'll probably be wrong.
Listen, since you want to, I'll do it for you. I'm going with the Danimal like Prakash. By the way, the Lucius Malfoy reference was fantastic. That caps off an incredible 11 days for the three of us here on TC Live. Monica and I headed to Charleston. Andy, T2 served on Sunday. Going to be a great podcast there. And then, of course, tomorrow TC Live is going to be from Miami with Brett, Prakash, Jim, and Martina Navratilova. So a lot to look forward to. Andy, talk to you soon. Enjoy the weekend.
Get some sleep.
All right. Cheers, brother. Thanks, Monica.
Thank you so much for watching TC Live. As always, Serena Williams in the house. We love to see that. She will be back there, I'm sure, to cheer on Grigor Dimitrov in the final, giving him some love. The action for Miami, as always, continues after this.